It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help.
Welcome back to the show. We got NFL news to get to. I will get to that D'Amico stuff and what he had to say about trading out of the first round and also acquiring the two corners, the poo-poo platter of corners that are Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson. But the news coming out of the NFL, owners meeting, that they've approved the ban of the hip drop tackle. And as you might imagine, defenders aren't thrilled. One defender in particular is J.J. Watt, who doesn't play anymore, but, you know, you see him on CBS. And he alluded to, quote, tweeting the rule being changed and said, well, just wait for the flags to come out. And by flags, I mean the flags you put on your waist to play flag football. The belts and flags, I think, is what he said. Because, of course, you know, if I ask J.J., hey, what do you think about the chop block? Do you think that's cool? Would you like that rule? How often would you like to see that happen? You being engaged with someone and then another player coming to block you below the waist. I mean, hey, just bring out the belts and the flags. I know defenders, and rightfully so, feel like the NFL is out to get them. They can't do this. They can't do that. You know, don't lead with the head. Don't target. That's more of a college football rule. But the NFL kind of legislates that too. I just don't think the 3 to 4 yards you're going to lose because you can't drop your weight on the back of, let's just say, pretty much a defenseless player on his ankle or his foot. I don't think they're even. I think losing a player for an extended amount of time doesn't equate to you stopping a guy 3 or 4 yards shorter than you would have. That's just my opinion. I mean, now Mark Andrews came back for the playoffs, but Mark Andrews losing all that time because he was tackled as he was going in to score a touchdown. I don't feel like that's commiserate. Sorry, if he drags you into the end zone, he drags you into the end zone. But I don't want a guy of his caliber, anybody, to lose time because of that tackle. What's the difference between that and a horse collar? Can anyone explain? You guys can call in 713-780-3776. What's the difference between the hip drop tackle being banned and the horse collar tackle being banned? Why is this so offensive to people when the same thing applies? You pull someone back by the collar and drop your weight, it could lead to a major injury, and they banned it. We've seen now defenders adjust and do the hip drop tackle, and we've seen guys' lower leg injuries occur. I would like an explanation from a defender why they're okay with the horse collar tackle being out, but the hip drop tackle is something they can't abide by. Maybe it's just a preponderance of things going against you, and you feel like, once again, this sucks, but you know what? So be it. We'd rather have the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the running backs still play and not miss a lot of time instead of you giving up a first down. That's just how it's going to be. And I don't have an issue with it. But if you do, 713-780-3776. The other rule that is going to be amended is the challenge system. Coaches will now get a third challenge if they get one out of the first two right. So you don't really have to be that good. Just be 50%, and you get a chance to get a second challenge. I mean, I would have been like, just give them. If they get the first two right, they get a third. You're going to reward failure? Because 50% is failing. Why am I rewarding you for failing? You weren't even average. You stunk if we're going by traditional grades, and you get a chance to get a second one. Now I'm disagreeing with the rule. You shouldn't get a third challenge just because you were half right.
Oh, and also just the idea, it's like that's literally just a coin flip. So you could just throw your flag like sight unseen, and it's like,
and you get a second one.
Yeah, maybe.
If you get it right. So those two rules are now in effect. The more controversial one is the hip drop tackle, which get it out of here. And I'm just letting you know, if you are against it, fine. What if your quarterback out of the pocket gets grabbed, hip drop, ankle breaks, or ligament damage? Now, what are you saying? Most of the time, people don't react to something until it's personalized. Even when it just comes to sports, But horse collar can go, the hip drop can go, and I think we'll just be fine. I don't care if you get dragged for 2 yards. It happens. So the hip drop tackle is out. I don't know if D'Amico Ryans was asked about it at his availability, but he was asked about a couple things, including the Texans trading out of the first round. The Texans no longer have a first-round pick. They traded that to the Vikings. They now have 2 second-round picks, one of their own and one of from the Vikings. They also have a future second-round pick as part of the trade in 2025. Here is D'Amico Ryans discussing why they made the trade.
Yeah, the thought process behind, moving back, in the draft is just, we feel like in this draft there is a large amount of players are in that second to third, fourth round. It's a lot of guys right there that can come in and help our team, right? We feel like that's where the sweet spot of the draft is this year. And so we're excited about that move, and we feel like we can add some really quality players to our team.
So that was some of the speculation, at least from me, whether they thought the value was in that second round as opposed to where they're picking in the first round. And is it going to be a second-round corner? They've added a couple corners with big names and at least big reputations coming out of school. Those reputations haven't lived up to those reputations. And the proof is in the fact that they're on their third or fourth team, depending on who it is. Actually, Okuda's on his third team right now. I think Henderson as well is on his third team right now. So those two guys were top 10 picks in the first round, but they haven't played to that level. And you might think, why are the Texans signing guys who have kind of been washouts in other places? D'Amico explains why these guys are here.
We're going to get in and dig in on these guys.
With the two corners, I see young players, right? Young, talented guys who, for whatever, wherever they were picked, it really doesn't matter to me. I see young, talented guys on tape, long guys who can run, who can play sticky coverage. You just have to be more consistent, and sometimes guys just need a new scene, right? Hopefully change of scenery helps these guys out, but it's adding those guys we just talked about, man. You want to come in and compete, so his competition, and that both guys understand that, and as much healthy competition as we can have on our roster, that means we're getting better. If our depth is getting better, we have guys actually competing for spots, then our team gets better.
The problem is maybe they're competing for spots because they're not good. Are they competing for spots because there's no one better and you have to play them? I mean, at least with the Okuda thing, you're paying him to a point where he is likely to make the roster. I'm not sure if what he's being paid guarantees snaps, but you want competition. But I'd like it to be good competition. I'd like it for one of those guys, if they won the job, to be an average cornerback, which those two haven't been over the course of their careers, and that's why they're no longer on their team. So we'll see if the competition and the reclamation projects for C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda bear results, or asking why the Texans didn't fix that position in the draft if they don't do it, or through free agency when there are a couple guys out there, particularly one in Xavier Howard, who's expressed interest and kind of been strong and open about his interest to be a Texan. Of course, there are monetary concerns and also injury concerns with him, but the Okuda Henderson combo, it looks like you're taking lottery picks and hoping that you can turn one of them into something that their previous stops couldn't. And D'Amico being a defensive coach, maybe he can't. So we'll see about that going forward. But Pena wants to talk about the hip drop tackle before we go to break. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? A lot of people are against that new rule. I'm for it. I actually like it because, like you said earlier, what would happen if it happened to Tank Dell, Nico Collins, or Lord behold, C.J. Stroud? Right, we're not going to be happy about that. We're gonna be pretty mad about it. So I'm all for it. I like it. But as in high school, I played defense. In basketball, I wasn't a good shooter, but I played really tough defense. I'm a real defensive guy. I would like for them to help the defense out a little bit more. Like, I don't know, like the defensive, when the receiver catches the ball, he hasn't hit the ground yet, and they penalize him. But I would like to get that away, help the defense out a little bit. Everything's helping out the offense, understandably. So I know why, but I would just like to see the defense get a little bit of love, And one thing about, um, I want the Texans to get Howard. You know, we need some help on the cornerback, and them trading out out the first round. I don't see us getting a top cornerback in the second or third round. That's about it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Pena. Yeah, I'm not against helping the defense out. Maybe be more stringent on holding calls on the offensive line. We know the old thing about you can call holding on every play. Well, maybe call holding more. Maybe make it more difficult to keep pass rushers from getting to the quarterback. But you won't do that because you want offense. And this is another rule that maybe not just for offense, but to remove the possibility of undue and maybe season-changing injuries, depending on how egregious the injury is to a player. So I'm with the hip drop tackle, but if we're talking about helping defenses, look, wide receivers can get away with offensive pass interference pretty much whenever they want. Make that a rule you focus on. Change the holding calls to make them more, maybe don't penalize more yards, but call them more. If we're trying to make things fair, I imagine the defender would appreciate being rewarded for putting on a great move and then being held. As opposed to, we're going to ban the hip drop tackle. I think we can even it out, make it safer, but also make it fair. But the second thing about calling more holding, probably unlikely because can't call more holding if you want more offense. Pena, I appreciate the call. Anyone else want to get in on the rule? And we can talk about the Texans and what they might do in the draft as well when we come back, but we are due for a break. And what that break means is maybe you head to MyBookie during the break. And the website is mybookie.ag. I talked about your ability to bet on the games tonight, whether it be the NBA and the Rockets versus the Blazers, or maybe you got a line on Juju Watkins and the USC women's basketball team against the Kansas Jayhawks. There are plenty of things to bet on because MyBookie provides you a chance to bet on anything, anytime, and anywhere. You can sign up and take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. If you put in $200, you get $300 ready to play instantly using promo code BET975. And the fun will not stop there. You get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who to put your money on. Not everyone's an expert. Just ask that Dodger outfielder. He might have needed some help from MyBookie. The best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. It's also legal. That's the other thing. You don't have to worry about an illegal bookie. Use promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today, only with MyBookie.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Just to clean up the hip drop tackle discussion, the penalty will be a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. So they're just going to treat it like a personal foul. If you missed it, you're just tuning in, the NFL has decided to ban, the owners have decided to ban the hip drop tackle. So despite the player opposition to that rule and the proposal, the owners voted on it, passed it, so you can no longer do that if you are an NFL player. So good luck, defenders, I guess. You guys can whine about another rule going against you, but I don't have any sympathy. Hey, don't be out of position. Don't get dragged 3 yards. Don't drop your weight on the back of someone's legs. That's a dangerous play, no different in my eyes from a horse collar, which I didn't remember a lot of pushback with. We all thought that was a rule that needed to be put in place. Now, apparently, this one is a bad one for whatever reason. But it's in, and the NFL tacklers will have to adjust. Pena mentioned, we talked to Pena, who called in the previous segment, about the Texans trading out of the first round. D'Amico talked about why they did it. They felt it was a sweet spot. So I'm going to pose these players to Sean. Because now that the Texans are not going to draft until day two, they need to find guys who will land there and see if maybe a guy slips, maybe they find value. So I'm going to give you names, Sean. I'm going to throw them out there to you, and then you can respond with who you like the most, considering the Texans' potential needs with free agency kind of on the last ebbs of it. Ladd McConkey, the Georgia wide receiver. Jalen Polk, the Washington wide receiver, who you saw in the playoff. One of your guys, Tavondre Sweat, who may not fit the Texans' mold of defensive tackle, at least D'Amico's. He's like at least in San Francisco, longer, angular defensive tackles. Tavondre's 366, maybe. That's
different
what he's
kind
listed
of
at.
Angles.
Yeah. Edrin Cooper, the A&M linebacker, and Kamari Lassiter, who is a Georgia corner. Now the Texans have added a couple corners, as we talked about, but that would be more competition, and that's what we heard from D'Amico, adding competition to the mix. So Kamari Lassiter, Tavondre Sweat, Edrin Cooper, Ladd McConkey, or Jalen Polk. If you had to choose, particularly Texans needs part of the equation, which player would you choose?
For that first second round pick. I like Lassiter, watching him in college. At Georgia, again, maybe this is because you're telling me that they can't get a defensive back for the rest of free agency.
I mean, they could. Now, they got the money, but
so now I'm like, well, then draft a defensive back because that's what I think they need. I think that is part of it. I do like McConkey though. McConkey, that boy, nice.
You think about the Texans and the offense where it came from, it's an offense kind of built on yards after catch. Now, it could be modified. The Dolphins are an offshoot of that, and they throw the ball down the field more. And we know Brock Purdy and the 49ers take advantage of yards after catch. Ladd McConkey's a guy who is a dynamic in the open field. I mean, Tank Dell is Tank Dell, but you would like another guy who you can throw the ball to at a depth of like 6 yards. He can make a guy miss. He's a guy who ran into rounds for Georgia, quick screens, bubble screens. He was a guy who did some of that for Georgia, so I would understand the acquisition. So you would take Ladd McConkey over Jalen Polk, who was more, I believe, a downfield threat guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's really the difference in my mind between those two. And as far as the linebacker, you mentioned Cooper, and I just don't view linebacker as
a need,
that big of a need, when you have Harris and Al-Shair. Aziz Al-Shair. And then, you bring up a good point with Tavondre Sweat. As much as I would love Tavondre Sweat on the Houston Texans, it does seem like D'Amico Ryans and Nick Cassero have a type that they're looking for. And like you said, it's more angular, and Tavondre Sweat is less angular.
He is not what you would consider angular.
Again, they're just different type of angles.
The angles exist. They're just not the angles D'Amico and Nick Cassero prefer. I mean, he does have
45
angles.
45 degree.
Yeah, but he isn't one that would fit the profile, but he's a talented player. You know, weight will probably be a concern quite a bit, just because it's been that for him in college. And there are some rumors that he ballooned up and then tried to get down, and that might be something he fights throughout his career. So we'll see. We'll see where they go. But those are just a couple guys. And I think I'd probably like Ladd McConkey on this team, as we're not going to, you know, they've had interest in acquiring a free agent wide receiver. But if it comes through the draft, as Sean said, he is nice. Just watch his Georgia highlights. That's a guy who there was initially, hey, look how interesting he is. I can't believe he's doing that because, you know, well, the white receivers running around making plays. Everyone's like, I can't believe that.
Yeah, of course, him and Stetson didn't have a chemistry.
Yeah, imagine that. But then it turns out Ladd McConkey just makes plays, and he made plays over and over again for Georgia. And I think his skill set, the short area quickness, his ability to make guys miss in the open field, would add a different element to the offense. Yeah. Tank Dell has some of that, but he's a guy you imagine, because of his speed, you're going to throw the ball down the field to him a little bit. If you need a short area guy who's bigger, who maybe you don't want to expose Tank to bubble screens that may result in him being drilled by a safety who reads the play well, Ladd McConkey is a bit stouter. He wouldn't be as susceptible to injury. I think that would be a nice fit for the Texans going forward. I think you look at Jalen Polk. I mean, you have Tank, you have Nico as your downfield guys. He is really good. That Washington trio, when they're healthy, were really good catching the ball from Michael Penix. But yeah, if I'm making the pick, and of course, clearly, I have no power, but if I did have any power, I would take Ladd McConkey. Maybe just because I can say Ladd a lot.
Yeah.
We talked about Tad, and not a lot of people named Tad. Who's named Ladd?
I didn't even know that was a name. Honestly.
It's LADD. If you didn't know how to spell Ladd, as in Ladd McConkey, it is LADD McConkey.
His first name's Andrew,
and he goes by Ladd.
Yeah, it's Andrew Ladd McConkey.
I might have stuck with Andrew.
Andrew McConkey.
But that's a bet.
I think
Drew McConkey.
That's a first round pick.
There you go. Drew McConkey is a great name.
He's picked before the Texans have a chance to get him.
But Ladd, maybe he drops.
Yeah, so Ladd's a second.
To pick 42. Maybe that's great for the Texans. Who knew?
And, you know, part of the reason I think I like Ladd McConkey is that I feel like he brings something to the Texans that they've been missing since the days of Andrew Walter, you know?
Well, it's Kevin Walter.
Kevin Walter.
Yes.
Andrew Walter was the quarterback for the Raiders back
yes.
in the day.
David Anderson and Kevin
Anderson,
Walter.
Yeah.
Yes. We haven't had – We've
been missing those.
Was Amendola here at some point? Right.
He was. He had a cup of coffee.
Sure. During the dark years for the Texans. Yeah,
that doesn't count.
Yeah, we don't think about those. We don't think about that stuff. Before we go, just try to stay on the clock, who has a big supporter? Cal McNair. Jerry Jones is a big supporter of Cal. Because, you know, we talked about it last week as the Texan succession episode comes to an end because the eldest boy isn't going to get it. It'll fall to Cal, the ownership of the Texans. That vote's going to happen. And Jerry Jones, the vote's tomorrow. And Jerry Jones says he was mentored by one of the finest men and one of the best owners ever to be in the NFL, Bob McNair. He's been mentored. I'd vote for him every time. So Cal has a giant and great supporter in Jerry Jones. I don't think there was much debate about whether he would get approved. You wouldn't even get to the vote if anyone thought this wasn't going to go through. Amy Adams Strunk decides to throw a little wrench in the whole thing.
Pure hater vote.
Yeah, or maybe she abstains just to prove a point. Maybe she doesn't vote against the Texans, but she abstains. But this is going to pass. Kyle's going to be the principal owner.
Does it have to be unanimous?
No, it doesn't. I don't think it has to be unanimous. That's why
two-thirds majority. What are we?
I'm not sure. Is it 24-8? I'm not sure what the number is, but it looks like that's going to go through. And Cal has one of the more influential owners in the league behind him, in Jerry Jones.
Like you said, it wouldn't get to this point if it was in doubt. But I do like the idea of them having to to politic for it, and then abstention, like and like
the House of Representatives. Cal needs a whip to get people on his side.
Exactly.
We don't have the votes. What do you mean?
We got to make some backroom deals with Shad Khan.
Shad Khan isn't all in. He wants a couple things. I wish that was the case. If he had to convince Stephen Ross of something, we had to swap Super Bowls or something to make sure the job got done.
Stephen Ross is 100% for sale.
Yeah, you could buy Stephen Ross.
Hey, this isn't legal, Stephen Ross. Man, I don't care.
Legal? Talking about legal. You know my track record. I tried to swoop in and get Tom Brady without anyone noticing. Cost them picks. The Dolphins were F them picks before they were actually trading them. They were just giving them away. And
here, take them.
Here, we don't care. The Tom Brady thing didn't work out. Whatever, take our picks. But yeah, tomorrow Cal will likely be approved as a principal owner of the Texans. And really, all we're hoping for is that Cal's just handing the reins over to Hannah. Great, Cal. You're the owner and name. We appreciate you. But hand it to Miss McNair, or Mrs. McNair, excuse me, your wife, and we'll keep it moving. We'll keep it moving. We are done with this segment. I want to get to the Astros a little bit because Joe Espada was asked about what he's implemented and how the players have responded. We'll get to that. I'll give you the Jake Meyers update as well as your everyday center fielder. I know that's surprising, but the Astros kind of made that announcement in December. He had an issue with the hand. We'll give you an update on that. We'll hear from Joe Espada, and we'll do a couple other things as well before we wrap it up. We'll be back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
No, not really, Mike. You could just watch. You don't have to be here. A couple things to get to before we get to the Astro stuff. More rules are being changed. This might go the way of the pass interference penalty that the officials didn't want to deal with because they felt like it was an attack on them. The replay assistant will be able to fix mistakes on roughing the passer and intentional grounding. So if you felt one of your players was unfairly penalized, now the replay official can assistant can immediately go in there, fix it, and also intentional grounding, I guess, whether it is or isn't. So that'll be up for review by the replay assistant. We'll see how quickly they do it, whether it adds more time to the games, which the NFL has tried to avoid. But a lot of news coming out of the NFL owners meeting. They're making changes to the rules, at least, and some of them more controversial than others. But now, roughing the passer penalties are under review, which has not been the case before. But it'll be up to the replay assistant. We won't have the referee going over to the screen or the Microsoft Surface and making a determination. That'll be up to the eye in the sky. I don't know if that'll be in New York or on site, but those are a couple things that'll be reviewed, and maybe we'll get better calls that way. The other thing, the Denver Broncos are changing their uniforms, much like the Texans. It looks like they're not going to change the logo, but or the colors. Well, the Texans will change their colors slightly, but the Broncos aren't doing that. But they will change the redesign. So the Texans and the Broncos officially will be changing their uniforms this year. Before I get to the Astros stuff, so the Cougars, they played A&M yesterday. They have Jim Nantz as their celebrity that will show up to the games, and the camera will pan to them. Sean, you'd say it's – I know Kevin Durant showed up at the women's game, but it's Matthew McConaughey, right, for Texas. That's the guy. If he shows up to a game, the cameras – is there another person that's in competition for the camera?
In general?
Yeah.
No, it's normally McConaughey. Glenn Powell gets a little bit of love ever since the –
anyone but you?
Top Gun.
Oh, Top Gun, okay.
Well, yeah, come on.
Well, if he brought Sidney Sweeney with him, he certainly would get a lot of love. So you've got McConaughey at the forefront, KD when he can, you know, basketball seasons coincide,
yeah,
so he can't.
He's an active athlete.
He can't get to the games.
LaMarcus Aldridge was at a game.
Okay, but if, I guess maybe non-athletes. You've got McConaughey, some Glenn Powell. We've got Jim Nantz. Do you think the Aggies are a distant third with Jack Easterby as the people, people are focusing on?
Celebrity row.
Yeah. Jack Easterby, if you don't know, and Aggie fans noticed it, and some will blame him for what happened
yesterday. They noticed it, all right.
Yeah, Jack Easterby is a part of the Aggie basketball program in some way, shape, or form. It's pretty nebulous, maybe less nebulous than it was in Houston, at least in the final stages of his time here. At the beginning, people weren't really sure what he was doing, and maybe at the end, people weren't really sure what he was doing outside of ruining the team. But Jack Easterby is around the Aggie basketball program, and I believe Buzz Williams was asked about it, and, you know, Buzz was kind of, I don't want to say he danced around it, but he said he knew Jack from before, and here's Buzz Williams discussing Jack Easterby being around the Aggies.
What kind of impact has he had on you and your program, the players, and does he have an official role with the program?
Oh, no, he's just visiting. I've known Coach Jack for...
Coach? What does he coach?
Long before he was with the Texans. So I would say long before I was at Texas A&M. I would say over a decade now. Yeah, he's just here at the game. And
I believe that was a Houston report. I don't know his name because obviously the Cougs are playing, so you're going to get Houston people. And a Houston person immediately is going to notice that Jack Easterby's around. He's going to see the tweets, and of course a Houston person is going to ask the question. I'm not sure anyone from College Station knows the extent of the dislike for Jack Easterby. But it caught some eyes, and you can't have that guy around Buzz Williams. You can't. Maybe Wade Taylor would have had a better shot selection if Jack wasn't around. I don't know. But you can't have Jack Easterby around if you want to win.
Jack Easterby was giving him too much, like, support.
Yeah, giving him too much confidence.
Wade Taylor was like, man, I feel Jack really Easterby loves me. I can go 5-for-23 tonight.
Oof. Well, they wish 5-for-23.
Oh, maybe, yeah, 5-for-26.
Maybe he would have passed the ball more if it was 5-for-23. It was 5-for-26. Wade yeah. Taylor, the...
And then he kept looking over to the sideline.
And Jack was like,
Buzz Williams has his arm crossed, shaking his head, but Jack Easterby's behind him.
Yeah, he's looking like, above Buzz's head, and Jack is like, go
keep
ahead,
shooting.
Wade.
Keep shooting.
Yeah. Shooter, shoot, Wade Taylor. He was good against the Aggies in the regular season here in Houston at the I don't know exactly the Halal guys and Daspit event. Not so much last night as the Cougs found a way in overtime despite all the foul trouble to win. I mentioned the Jake Myers, and we'll get to the Espada sound here after this. But Jake Myers had an X-ray in his left hand. He is going to be fine. Joe Espada doesn't expect him to miss any time. He was struck on the top of his left hand with a fastball thrown by Johan Ramirez of the Mets. But Jake is apparently going to be ready for the start of the season. So if you had any concerns about where your starting center fielder would be, he'll be in the lineup as long as, I guess, the swelling isn't too bad. So Jake Meyers avoids serious injury. He's a guy who's been at that spot for, really since Dana Brown talked about it in December. There's been no question that Jake Meyers would be your opening day center fielder, and he's rewarded the Astros' faith, I guess, if you want to consider what he's done in spring, a reward. Certainly, we'll see what he is once the season begins. So DeBond's out there. So if Jake Meyers struggles, you can certainly turn to Mauricio Dubon. But at least early, Jake Meyers is going to get the start, and we'll see how it plays out. I know people aren't all in on Jake Meyers stuff, but he'll get a chance. He's been around quite a bit, and he's been able to impress the organization to a point where even with the new manager, he will get his time. So it wasn't just a dusty thing giving Jake time. Joe Espada sees something in him as well, along with the rest of the organization. And speaking of Joe Espada, the new manager, he is one who will do things a little differently. We know about that, whether it be openly naming Hader the closer very early on, as long as he's available, and also giving Yordan the two spot. Those are, I guess, you want to point to his big moves so far, the big decisions. But he's made other changes, too. He was asked about how the players have responded to his changes. He's been around. They're familiar with him. But he has been open about doing things differently. And here's Joe Espada talking about how the players have responded to his changes.
Got some feedback from the players and the coaches and from a lot of people. I think we're in a really good spot. I think I did some things early to set the tone on how I wanted things to go, and some relationship with the players, and some things that I want to make sure that we get clear, you know, things that I wanted as a manager, you know, but I think it was a good spring.
I wonder what he means when he says things he wanted to get clear. Lay off the pudding, Chaz? If we're going to, I'm just throwing out jokes here because I don't know. I don't know what it means. I'm sure that stuff that'll just stay in the clubhouse, and hopefully it means more. I don't even want to say more wins, because how many more wins can there be? This team wins all the time, but maybe a less stressful regular season than it was last year. You have to hope Alex Bregman gets off to a better start than he's normally accustomed to. Yeah, he had a couple home runs over the weekend, so that's good news. What it means when they see the Yankees, I don't know if it means anything, but you want Alex Bregman, who got off to a slow start in the spring, to kind of ramp it up, because he's going to be important, and he's got a contract coming up too. So hopefully it's that annual tradition of someone in the contract year performing above expectations, because even if Alex Bregman is not long to be in an Astros uniform, you like him to have a career year this year. Hey, man, go out on a high note. And if the Astros don't want to pay you, I'm assuming he's going to want at a minimum 8 years and $35 million, whatever the number might be, which is out of the realm of what the Astros will pay him. You want to give us a career year? We'll take it. And thank you, and shake your hand.
Although, he does have one thing going against him.
What is it?
That's Scott Boras being his agent. Scott Boras can't get his guys paid anymore.
That's true. Scott Boras has found a brick wall, being the owners, saying, nah. Not you. We're not giving you everything you want. We've done that enough.
We've done that for 25 straight years.
We're tired of it. Yeah, finally the owners find a backbone. I mean, by backbone, I mean they're still giving Blake Snell like $60 million over two. But at least it's not 120 over four, yeah, or whatever it might be. Yeah. Actually, it wouldn't even be 120 over four. About 120 over four.
Yeah. He wanted like 250.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, we got to draw a line, and Blake Snell's the line. We're not going to give Blake Snell $250 million, Cy Young Award winner or not. We're not doing that for you. So Scott Boras, I won't say he ever loses, but maybe things are changing, and maybe we're just not – maybe the owners have decided not to bend the knee to Scott Boras anymore, which doesn't help his clients at all. And as Sean mentioned, Alex Bregman is one of his clients. But does that mean Alex Bregman's going to take a short-term deal and the Astros will match what he's asking for? We'll see. I think it's unlikely, just if we go by precedent. He seems like the next Astro cornerstone to say goodbye.
Yeah. A shorter-term deal, like if he has just like Matt Chapman's or Blake Snell's or Cody Bellinger's offseason next year, I do think it helps the Astros that they're more likely to sign him to a $30 million annual value deal for only 2 or 3 years than they are – a $30 million annual value for 10 years.
Yeah, Alex Bregman is a good player. Good player here. Maybe even call him really good. But
I would put him really good.
Really good. But are people going to jump out there and go, we must pay him everything he wants? Or is he going to be a guy, like you said, who's waiting around into February to find a deal he thinks is appropriate for what he's done and what he can do?
Yeah.
So that's something that if Scott Board's clients are guys who people are willing to wait on because they don't think that what they're asking for is their actual value, and maybe the owners have just decided no more listening to Scott and bending to him. We're not going to compete against each other. It could be rough out there on the streets for Alex Bregman, particularly if he doesn't perform to a high level this year. He'll get his money. He's as Sean said, a very good player, but he may be waiting a little bit, particularly if he can't get a couple teams to bid against each other. And if his home team, the team who knows him, isn't willing to get into a bidding war, it won't be tough in them streets. He'll be fine. But maybe he's out there waiting longer than he might think. So we'll see how that goes. And that's a long way away. We got a whole season to figure that out. And he may not even be the Astros' priority because we know they haven't offered him a contract yet. I mean, they've talked, but they haven't offered him anything. And he may not even want one. He may just wait to free agency to see what he can get. And a career year for him certainly would be helpful. We got one more segment to go. We talk about cornerbacks quite a bit here because the Texans, we think, are a little weak on one side, at least opposite side of Stingley. Well, the Titans made a move. And it's a move where the Chiefs took a gamble, and I'm going to say they lost. I'll explain what I mean on the other side. We got a couple other things to get to before we wrap it up. We'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Final segment of the show. Got a couple things, and we might get to a recent report about what the Rockets actually did offer for Mikal Bridges. Now, that trade obviously wasn't consummated, and look where the Rockets are. But we got some news from Shams on that. He was on FanDuel TV, and really some solidified reporting on what the Rockets were involved in when they were trying to make a move around the trade deadline. But first, I want to get to an acquisition made by the Titans. They trade for L'Jarius Sneed. He was one who's been looking for a trade for really since the start of free agency. The Chiefs allowed him to do that. They put a tag on him, which meant there was money tied up in L'Jarius Sneed. And the Chiefs get a third round pick from the Titans and a swap of 2024 seventh round pick. So essentially, the Titans traded a third round pick and got a really good corner. He's older. They got to pay him a lot. So I understand why the Titans did it. But the Chiefs thing is what I'm really questioning. If they had just let L'Jarius Sneed go, they would have gotten a third round compensatory pick and kept that money open for them to spend in free agency. Now they took a gamble. They thought they might be able to get more for Sneed in the trade. Maybe they thought they could get a second round pick plus maybe a fifth. But what they got was what they would have gotten if they had just let him go, which means they had to sit out free agency. Now the Chiefs will be fine. They got Trent McDuffie at corner, and they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and so on and so forth. But a team who may have had the chance to spend in free agency and make that roster stronger couldn't because they had money tied up. And when we talk about the franchise tag or transition tags, that's kind of the gamble you take. And I think the Chiefs lost. Now, what L'Jarius Sneed will be as a player for the Titans will directly affect the Texans more than the Chiefs maybe mismanagement of the situation. But when we talk about putting the franchise tag on players and why some teams don't do it, this is an example. Because with the compensatory stuff, if one of your major free agents gets a big deal, the size of the deal that Sneed got, you wouldn't have to worry about compensation. You're going to get that pick back anyway. And the Chiefs thought they might get more. They did not. And now they weren't able to maybe get really deep into free agency. Well, they brought back Chris Jones, which was important, and they have the bulk of that championship team back, but it could have been more, which might have made the Chiefs even scarier. So maybe we should thank the Chiefs, if you're team, if you're a fan of an AFC team, that they weren't able to use some of that money now available to scoop up a couple of free agents that might have really strengthened their squad. Shams on FanDuel TV. He is one of your newsbreakers. We know. We go to Shams. We go to Woj. There are a couple of others we go to when there's big NBA news. And Shams discussed news that didn't happen, news that could have happened if the Nets had acquiesced the Rockets in making a trade. The Nets have Mikal Bridges. He's probably not as good of a player as his tag says he is. Like, Mikal Bridges had a really good back half of last season when he was traded from the Suns in the Kevin Durant trade. And people thought, hey, could he be a number one? Turns out Mikal Bridges can't be because the Nets stink and he's their best player. So he probably is not a number one. Maybe he's a two, maybe he's a three. But the Rockets are interested as Jalen Green was struggling and the team overall wasn't playing to the level they were to begin the year. There's some talk of maybe Mikal Bridges being a Rocket. They did make the deal, and now we see where the Rockets are and where Jalen Green is. But this is Shams discussing what the Rockets were willing to offer to acquire Mikal Bridges and why it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, just look at this six-game run that he's had. They've won eight in a row, but this six-game run, 31 points, seven rebounds, four assists a game, 52% from the field, 48% from three. Mm. And you compare and contrast that to how he's been, how he has been playing with Alperen Sengun in the lineup, 18 points a night, five rebounds, three assists, 41% from the field, 31% from three in 63 games. He's thrived without Sengun in the lineup. And a lot of that is because they're able to play his style of game without Sengun in the lineup. They're fifth in the league in pace. They were in the second half of the league in pace per game. Their offensive rating has been second in the entire NBA. They were in the bottom half with when Sengun was healthy and Jalen Green was playing, really based around Sengun's game. So now you have Jabari Smith Jr. playing more at center. Amen Thompson has been playing a lot of the point forward position. He's been playing at the four. And just taking us back 2 months ago, the Rockets called the Nets on Mikal Bridges. And I'm told they discussed the concept around Jalen Green and multiple first-round picks. That deal was not accepted by the Brooklyn Nets. That didn't progress anywhere. And now you're looking at it. You have a, it's a great problem for the Rockets to have. You have two burgeoning stars, I think, with Sengun, with Jalen Green. And they're both extension eligible this summer. They're both going to be in line for massive deals, potentially, in extensions. But Jalen Green needs this space. Like, this pace that they're playing with now, he needs it without Sengun in the lineup. So what do you do if you're the Rockets moving forward? Can you, can these two guys coexist? Can they play with each other?
So that'll be something we figure out next season, unfortunately, because Sengun isn't here. Is Jalen Green in this uptick simply a product of not having Sengun around, or as he put it, he's doing it for his baby? And if you saw the news that came over the weekend, maybe baby should be in plural. That's just rumor and rumors and gossip, but you type in Jalen Green and baby and you'll see. I don't need to explain the entire thing to you, but it's out there if you care to search.
He's on his Tyreek Hill.
That's how it was put by someone. He's trying to do the Tyreek three-peat, apparently. Because that's comforting. But he's playing really well. I don't know if we even care that much about his personal life. It's just interesting as this develops that now people are digging in and finding other things. But, yeah, I mentioned Mikal Bridges. I mean, when he joined the Nets last year, he was up over 26 points per game, had a really good second half to the year. Now he's back to 20.5 points. I won't call him just a guy. He's a good player. But are we giving up this version of Jalen Green and multiple first-round picks for Mikal Bridges? No. No, but we didn't know this Jalen Green was coming because we didn't know Sengun was going to be hurt. And you heard Shams. That's the most important thing beyond all the success Jalen Green is having as far as we talk about the Rockets' future. They're both extension eligible. Are we giving one guy money and telling the other guy, nah, we're going to hold off? Because you know how that can turn. I mean, as much as this is great, Eagles can play a part. And if they're giving Sengun money early and not Jalen money early, which we thought was going to happen, then we got a whole different conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting because I don't think both guys are going to get the max extension.
Do you think they both get extensions?
I think they both get extensions at this point. Maybe later, maybe as we get closer to it, we'll kind of hear some more things about, you know, what they're feeling and just frankly what Shingun and Green are asking for. If they're asking for maxes,
I can't imagine they're not. I mean, both guys. I mean, Jalen Green's going to see. Look, he was out of the way, and look what happened. And look how great we were. Look what I did. If he continues this run through 82 games, and particularly if they make the play-in, forget about they make the playoffs. They make the playoffs. Oh, the max is something he'll ask for and probably get. But
we're doing that for 25 games. It would have be.
What he'll have is evidence, quote unquote evidence, to say I'm much better when this guy doesn't play. Give me my money. Look how great I am when you give me the ball and get out of the way. I'm not saying it's right, but if I'm an agent, that's what I'm doing. He left. I'm great. Give me my money. And Shingun was like, it was great when he was holding me back. So these will be the discussions going forward. I'm not even saying the players will do that themselves, but their agents have a job. And the agents will sell, look how great we were when this guy wasn't around. Give me the money.
Maybe you just ride it out then. Because if they don't sign extensions, they'll be restricted free agents
next year.
So you can just still keep them.
You can always push it off.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it plays out. It is an interesting subplot to this the back half or the last couple games of the Rocket season as they continue to perform and maybe make the play-in. They got the Blazers tonight. We expect them to be above 500 when we come back tomorrow. We'll see. We are done for the day. DeLon and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.